From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Brady Clark Ford Studio. This morning, obviously, we'll talk a lot of Ole Miss baseball as the Rebels get swept by Mississippi State over the weekend in Oxford. The Bulldogs have now won 14 of the last 16, 12 of the last 13, and 6 in a row at Swayze Field. The first time they have done that since 1948 to 1950, says Nick Suss of the Clarion Ledger. I did not look it up, but I'll take his word for it. He's pretty smart. So we'll go with that. We'll talk a lot of baseball today. The Ole Miss softball team is going to have postseason softball in Oxford this weekend. They are the number 11 overall national seed for the NCAA tournament. They are welcoming ULL, Neil's hated rival, as well as Southeast Missouri and Chattanooga starting on Friday. So we'll hit some of that. Also on today's show, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Blue Sky. They're on Highway 6 West. Lunch special is $4.99. You know about that. You know chicken spaghetti's on Mondays if you'd like to take part in that lunch special. You pick up some ribs tonight on the way home, wet or dry. Call ahead. They'll be ready to go. You can also save money at the pump with the Speed Pass Plus app, the Mobile Rewards Program, and more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Yeah, it's hard for me to even focus after you mentioned ULL coming to town. It's going to raise my blood pressure throughout the weekend. Go to Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. It's nice and easy. No hassle, no haggle. You just get your quote, and then the rest is up to you. You can let that be a baseline for you moving forward. That would be a wise thing to do. Either way, I think you're going to end up coming back to Clark Ford. A great Ford product, great service after the sale. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. Call that number, start the process, and you'll see what I mean. 662-257-1900. Tell Corey at the end of your deal that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You'll save $500 on the bottom line. I know we're going to get to a lot of baseball and stuff. This is kind of shocking NBA/college basketball news. I don't know if you've seen this.
I did. Go ahead.
Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Michigan's John Beilein, who's an older fellow, has agreed to a 5-year deal to become the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. League sources tell ESPN, and if Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting it, it is done.
You're taking his word for it.
If he tells me that the NBA is folding today and that they're just shutting it down, I'm like, oh, how about that? Now, if he tells me that something about, you know, the solar system or something, I might have some questions. But if it's NBA related, it might as well be gospel. Kind of surprised on that one. I know we're not going to spend any time there. We're moving on. That one kind of – Gabe DeArmond retweeted it with wow, and that was my response, was wow. There's very few things in sports that give me a wow moment, and that's a wow moment.
What's Michigan do?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Where might they look? Because, yeah, they've been a steady, very good team.
Oh, I think Beilein's one of the more underrated coaches in the game. Been very good everywhere he's ever been. I don't know where they go. It's interesting. And the timing on this, I mean, it's middle of May. It's very interesting.
So at rebelgrove.com this morning, I wrote kind of a story/column, just kind of what this means for Ole Miss after yesterday. Obviously, we'll elaborate in voice form a little on that here. Neil's 10 Thoughts has a lot of baseball in it, has a little, I guess, secondary indirect football in it as well. So you can find that at rebelgrove.com. And then there's a quick softball story on what the Rebels are facing in their regional and who they're paired with this weekend in Oxford.
You wrote very fast.
I did, you know, it's one of those deals where I don't think there's a market for this, but if there were, you know, if I was not, and I guess, okay, I guess there's two ways to look at this. If I was not in the media, I probably wouldn't have access to this the way that I do. However, in saying that, I would be really good on Twitter as just like a normal person, not media person, at spoiling brackets. I'd be great at it.
Yeah, and the people at Hatley High School who taught you typing, kudos to you, ma'am and sir.
I type basically 487 words a minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, your math skills, questionable. Your typing skills, phenomenal.
I took typing as a freshman in high school, I guess, because you used to put those, is it called fast keys or something? It was like the little orange film that you put over the keyboard so you couldn't look at what letter was what to learn to just type.
I don't remember. It's been a while, but I took it in the ninth grade. Mrs. Kirkland is probably as meaningful a class as I ever took at any level of any of my...
You're being serious.
I'm being totally serious.
Okay.
I mean, I type a lot.
Yeah, but did that class teach you to type?
Yes.
Okay.
Before that class, I did not know how to type. By the end of that class, I knew how to type.
I think as a freshman, it was a class called Basic Skills, and it was a Miss Hargett that taught it. And then as a sophomore, there was a class that I took that was a half a semester of word processing, which essentially was typing again, although it had some other computer stuff in it. And then the second half was basic programming, like literally programming on a computer. And you could not have two classes in the same year, in the same room, with the same teacher, and the same pupils that mattered more and mattered less in your career. Because I will never have to know how to hit like 1,000 keys in a row to make a computer put an A down by itself or something like that. But word processing still to this day somewhat beneficial from that period of time. So. I don't know.
Carson's class, he's in sixth grade. He's taking all sorts of computer coding and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he comes home talking about that, and I just look at him with my eyes glazed over.
How many words do you think you can type a minute?
I have no idea.
I don't either. What's your guess?
What's average?
Average for people in our field or just average period?
Average period.
The average person, I looked it up, the average person types between 38 and 40 words per minute.
Oh, I'm probably 70 to 80 words a minute.
Could say, however, professional typists type a lot faster, on average between 65 and 75 words per minute.
Yeah, I'm probably up there.
I would think.
Yeah, I'm pretty fast.
That's what she's... Hey. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, okay. There's so many places to start. I don't really know where to even start talking. I guess just open my mouth and let words come out.
I'll help you here.
All right. Go ahead.
It's so they played the games. Ole Miss.
Real quick setup for everybody who just has been under a rock. 32-20, 15-12 in the SEC.
Yeah.
Go to Tennessee starting Thursday. Play Arkansas State in Jonesboro Tuesday. Tennessee pitches it pretty well. They got a series win over Florida, I believe, this past weekend. And they're okay. They're all right. They're not great. They're not terrible. They're just okay. But it will not be an easy series in Knoxville this weekend. I will say that, because Tennessee is also kind of fighting for its life right now, even with the metrics that it has. Tennessee 12-15 in the SEC. Frankly, they need at least 2 out of 3 to get into the tournament. In my opinion, they are 35-17 overall, and at this moment, their RPI is 10. Tennessee is a 10 RPI, which is tons of points available for Ole Miss since it's all on the road. And Ole Miss
24?
28.
28. Okay, so let's go here. Ole Miss worried all weekend about the weather. It turns out the weather did not help the Rebels this weekend, because they got 3 games in. They would have been better
off. Actually, it did help them. They just didn't take advantage of it on Friday night. The fog delay got Ethan Small out of the game after 6 innings.
So they got swept. So they now are sitting at 15-12. Before we get into the big picture stuff, let's stay on this team for a moment. We're going to get big picture in a minute, because I think that's what people want to hear. But let's build the building blocks. 15-12, we've spent weeks upon weeks upon weeks. I'm not making fun of you and me. I'm just saying the facts. We've spent weeks talking about hosting, because this is a program that is built around hosting. It is a stadium that was built for hosting. The program is judged by whether or not it hosts in so many ways. What does Ole Miss have to do at this point today to host?
Well, let's go even farther back than that, honestly. I mean, this sounds crazy, and it is a little crazy, but I'm just trying to be completely thorough here. Win a game, because at 15-15, you go to Hoover and lose, you might not make the dang tournament. I mean, probably would as a 3 seed, but you get my point. Just solidify that first. Get to 16, get a winning record in the SEC. To get into the host thing, you have two possibilities. And when I say possibilities, I just mean possibilities. This is not a given. It is not a definite, but it's possibilities to put you in the picture.
Okay.
Win 2 out of 3, beat Arkansas State Tuesday, finish at 17-13, and get hot as a dang firecracker in Hoover. That would give you a shot.
Meaning get to at least Saturday.
Yeah, at least. Because you play on Tuesday. So we're talking right. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, get to Saturday. That would really elevate your RPI. It would move you back into a possibility and give you a shot.
Okay.
Sweep Tennessee. Beat Arkansas State. And probably win on Tuesday in Hoover, and you're probably okay.
Okay.
18-12. That's 36. That'd be 37 wins going into the Wednesday at Hoover for the double elimination. Yeah, you're probably all right. That RPI probably would come back up. Because, look, there's wild fluctuations, but a lot of it's because everybody's so tight. I mean, I'm looking at it here, and, like, when I mean, like, actual RPI numbers. So, Ole Miss right now is at 57-63. And I'm not going to get crazy down to the weeds, but I have a point here. 57-63 is Ole Miss's RPI number right now. 16 is only 58-85. I mean, you could go 10 spots in 3 days with the right 3 spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So tons of fluctuation still possible because how tight these RPIs are. I think that's relevant. And there is a huge... I'm trying to find it again. There's a huge fall off, frankly, between even 28, 29, and then 30. Ole Miss, without really struggling and losing to Arkansas State and just bottoming it out, they can't fall much lower than the RPI. So actually, I think they're okay as far as tournament. But point being, yeah, I think you're 2 out of 3, get to Saturday, or you're sweep, and then I still wouldn't want to lose on Tuesday. Ole Miss is going to have to play on Tuesday unless I have bad math. Now, you just said my math's not as good as my typing skills. But I'm pretty sure that I did the math, and Ole Miss cannot, no matter what, get the 4 seed in the SEC tournament. Arkansas is going to be a top 4 seed. Vanderbilt's going to be a top 4 seed. Mississippi State's going to be a top 4 seed. Georgia looks like, at least from an Ole Miss standpoint, is going to be a top 4 seed. I'm not sure if LSU can catch any of these people or not because they're also 15-12. But Ole Miss can't catch Arkansas, can't catch Vanderbilt, and then the way I have it figured would lose tiebreakers to Georgia and Mississippi State.
So that knocks them out of the top 4.
That I believe that is correct. It was the Georgia tiebreaker that is a little more complicated because they didn't play the Bulldogs in the regular season, so you don't have that easy way to do it. Ole Miss didn't play Vanderbilt, so you can't do it that way. I don't think Georgia played Arkansas, so you can't do it that way. Mississippi State swept Georgia and Ole Miss, so you can't do it that way. It just kept going on and on and on and on and down, but I'm still pretty sure Georgia has a better record against whatever team it will matter because they also swept Florida. They beat Missouri. Anyway, that's where I'm getting at. They can't catch them. They're 5 at best. 5 is the 9 o'clock start-ish on Tuesday night.
I'm very sorry.
Playing the 12. The 6 is the 10 a.m. start on Tuesday.
I know what you're cheering for.
One of those is better than the other ones, Mr. McCready. So,
no doubt.
Yeah,
that 9 o'clock game does not start at 9 o'clock.
Well, no, I'm saying, I think on the schedule, they technically say 8, and I laugh at it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, good. Thanks, guys. It's great. It's the one where you go to dinner and then go to the game. Like, you still do whatever at the night and then go to the game.
Yeah, because you have plenty of time to recover or whatever else because the game your work at the game doesn't begin until after midnight.
Yeah, exactly. And no one's really reading the next day, and then they lose, nobody's reading at all. It's a weird game to cover. I mean, we haven't done that game in a long time. Ole Miss there for a while was always in that game, and I can remember 2005 through 2008-ish where it seemed like every year it was just that 4 or 5 game, and you win, you do it again the next night, and it's just it's a slog over several days. But they have they've not been in that game much here in recent time. But nonetheless, I answered your question. They're looking at least 2 out of 3, maybe probably a sweep to get back into hosting, and otherwise they have played their last game at Swayze Field this season.
So let's, for the sake of this conversation moving forward, assume that they are not hosting.
Okay. Because if they're hosting, that's a whole different conversation.
If they're hosting, obviously, and you're right, I think they probably have to sweep Tennessee, but you and I could sit here and argue semantics, and it doesn't matter. The bottom line is they have to get hot over the next 2 weeks to host a regional.
It's wild that Saturday game was so critical for Ole Miss, because you've got a lead after six innings. You're up 4-2, and now, look, you got screwed in the first inning. Just screwed.
Yeah, it was a terrible call.
But you're up 4-2. If you just win that game, even if you lose 2 out of 3, you're still pretty manageable right now. Your RPI wouldn't have been hit like this. It would have been a little better. You'd be at 16-11 at the moment. You could go to Knoxville and win 2 and feel okay about things. I mean, that Saturday game, when you look at just single games, maybe the most critical loss of the season.
Yeah, I think we knew going into the weekend Friday was going to be difficult because of Small. And it was. And even then, like you said, the weather
gave him a break.
The weather was on Ole Miss's side. It gave him a chance. The Saturday game's the killer. And then I watched yesterday when I got in front of a TV, it was 2-1 Ole Miss, I think. Does that sound right? And I saw State score and score and score and score and score.
In the top of the fourth inning, Ole Miss was up 2-1 with 2 outs and no one on base. And before the next out was recorded, State had scored 9 runs.
Yeah, and you could feel the oxygen leave that stadium. I was watching on television. You could feel the oxygen leave the stadium. The body language was bad. Now, look, you know, that's going to happen for any team when you're giving up 9 or 10 runs in an inning. But they just didn't – I don't know.
It was a weird inning that kind of personifies a lot of what Ole Miss struggles with at times, which is they're – be it by whatever reason you want to go there, and that's not what we're doing here, going into crazy semantics, but the bullpen is not deep, and Hoagland is always okay, but not great, and he was kind of, I think Parrish Offer put it, he was kind of death by paper cut, because State was just getting some singles and staying in it, not really squaring him up, but doing some damage, and Mike doesn't give Hoagland very, very long of a leash. It was a quick hook, but I think the bases were loaded at the time. I know the bases were loaded. And I thought that, I don't know if Ole Miss wins the game, but I thought the worst managerial decision of the day was going to Zach Phillips when he did. It's not against Zach, but Zach's a starting pitcher. Zach has never really been a reliever, and we have some history this season. Frankly, at Mizzou is another example where Zach does not pitch well at all with runners on base. He needs a clean frame. He needs a clean base path when he comes in. He kind of's got to start from scratch a little bit. And that's very common with a lot of starting pitchers. That's not strange at all. And bringing him in right there with the bases loaded and guys everywhere, even though there are 2 outs, he couldn't find the strike zone. He walks in at least 1 run. And it was sort of the disaster that gave State some momentum to really take off from there, I guess is where I'm going.
He did not look comfortable.
No, he wasn't comfortable.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I say this sometimes and people get a little irritated. I don't see them much. You cover them. You do a great job covering them, so there's no point in me going out to 30 games unless I just wanted to. When I can watch it, not really having watched the kid, and I can tell he's uncomfortable just because I watch baseball, I know he's uncomfortable. And that he was visibly uncomfortable. And you question sometimes how, if I can see it, why can't you see it? Why can't you make a move? And they left him in there for a little while, and then State got going. Momentum.
Well, it was back to back. Phillips only faced 2 batters. He walked them both. So
yeah.
he gives up 2 runs there, and then they bring in Max Chofi, who just got shelled.
I forgot about Chofi. I apologize to Zach Phillips and anybody.
Yeah. Phillips just walked a couple dudes.
Chofi came in and just stayed in. Felt like he was in there forever. And I don't know how long he was in there, but I sent you a text during that said, I think I could hit this guy. And I know I couldn't. Don't get me wrong. But everything was very hittable, and they hit it.
Yeah, I thought the two – and I didn't even necessarily mind Chofi coming in there because he at least is a reliever. He's been through that situation. He's not inexperienced. I thought Phillips coming in was the problem. And then once the game got out of hand, because obviously there's a lot of innings left, and I get that argument, I get it. But the odds were Ole Miss was not going to come back and win that game. I don't understand why Austin Miller was pitching. He pitches all the time. I mean, at some point, pitches do add up and affect you as the season goes on. And I just did not understand why Miller was in the game at that point. That was kind of a mop-up moment where, I mean, I guess you're throwing a Hail Mary that your offense gets hot, which I guess I get. But in some ways, it's like, hey, you're going to need Miller Tuesday. You're going to need him Thursday. Well, you know, let's not – I mean, he threw 41 pitches yesterday.
What was the environment in that – you were there all three games. What was the environment at the stadium?
It's quiet. I mean, it was – there were people, but it didn't have a – there was not much electricity past – I guess Friday night was okay for a while. Past that, not much. And it's the argument that is going to be made no matter what decisions are made as we move big picture. I get both sides, frankly. I don't know where I fall on this. The weather sucked. Like, there was no electricity, but we never got that 80-degree day, that night that was pretty good without the rain. I mean, it rained Friday night, and then we have a 30-minute fog delay. The fog, frankly, never really got better, but they still finished the game. On Saturday, the last hour and a half of the game was played in just this kind of hard mist for the most part. Yesterday is Mother's Day. It was kind of crappy outside, and they played 5 home SEC series, and 4 were altered in some way because of the weather. Everything after Alabama, which was during spring break, so students weren't back. So Ole Miss did not get a single SEC series the entire year where rain didn't move times around and the students were in town. And that makes it, not saying that's a complete excuse, that's not what I'm saying, that makes it very difficult, though, to put a complete tangible element on how crowds change because of the team and the program and the environment as the year moves on.
All right, so you want to pay some bills before we go big picture here? We'll tease it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming we're going to talk big picture. Is that what we're doing?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do that in a second. I'll tell you first that guests will join us this week on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm. That's who handles your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If you think you have a legal issue, if you know you have a legal issue and you're just not sure what to do with it, if you just have a legal question, take advantage of being a listener to this podcast. Get in touch with John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart. They're Ole Miss guys, the local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone with them the same day, guaranteed. 662-526-1992. Or check out their site, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. Warm weather is here, and with it comes the inevitable debate of sock or no sock with your loafers. Save your feet and your shoes from making their own impression and step into spring with some no-shows from Dead Soxy today. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. Go to deadsoxy.com. Enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 30% off all orders, including sale items. These no-shows are the same quality you already love and enjoy with their traditional dress sock, and these come with the no-slip guarantee. So go to deadsoxy.com, check out the no-show collection, and remember to enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off all orders. Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. It represents clients in more than 20 states as advisors in 3 states. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity and decisions are used with objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. At Pinnacle Trust, they basically build a plan just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNTrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll save 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates come down before you close, you just get the lower rate, 662-234-2704. or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and keep driving the ship.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to take over. I'm not trying to switch roles here, but I'm trying to make this easier for you because people want your analysis. And if you're having to ask me questions, it's hard for you to get to the analysis part. What does it mean? I mean, we saw the weekend, State's the better team. We knew that going in, I think. You talked for 2 weeks about how this was a tough matchup. You tried to tell people, hey, this is going to be difficult. And it was. State won the series. They have a dominant Friday starter. They have a very good team. Kudos to them. There's a chance that that team goes a long way. Now, a couple of things that I want you to touch on, what it means, if anything. In the last 4 years, it's been well documented, and this includes the Governor's Cup games. Is that right, Governor's Cup?
That is correct, yes.
Including those games, State is now 14-2 against Ole Miss.
Ole Miss swept the season series in 2015, and since that point, they have won one game each time the series has been in Starkville. They have lost all the Governor's Cups, and they have been swept in Oxford two times in a row.
So touch on what that means, if anything. It's clearly not just a coincidence. You have to work hard in baseball to go 14-2 against somebody or 2-14 against somebody. And
somebody here's good at that. It's not even like you're beating, you know, Arkansas Pine Bluff 14-16.
Right. I'm talking in the league. When you're playing, you know, it's just no one does that. I mean, no one does that. This just doesn't happen. So what does it mean? And then let's just assume this team doesn't get scorching hot in the next 2 weeks. Let's assume this team goes to a regional as a 2 seed, almost certainly a 2 seed, maybe a 3 seed, probably a 2 seed.
It's a 2, yeah. I mean,
they go as a 2 seed, and they at some point in that weekend see their season expire. What does it mean?
Okay, several different things it can mean here. One is there's obviously an extra emotional element when it's Mississippi State. It goes both ways, State to Ole Miss, Ole Miss to State. So any pressure that's already there or any disgruntlement that is already there or anything along those lines, it just moves up a couple pegs when it's State. It just moves up. It affects the season as a whole and the whole general picture as a kind of a microcosm. So, look. Coaches have been fired because of how they play against their rival in every sport. That matters how you do against your rival. It also, for the people that want change and see things as very black and white, and I understand why here, it takes a lot of the argument about inefficiencies and scholarship stuff and doesn't throw it out the window, but it certainly minimizes it because you're watching Mississippi State do it. You just are. I mean, you're seeing an example of how you make it work. And now Ole Miss makes it work, too, because, frankly, Ole Miss is more consistent in the regular season than Mississippi State, which leads me to my next point. And credit to Jeffrey. He's the one that's on this more than anybody else. College baseball, as seen by everybody, is a postseason sport. No one can tell you who's won the West the last 8 years in a row or anything like that. But for the most part, everybody kind of knows who's been to Omaha, and it's one of the reasons why I think Tim Corbin is overrated. I know a lot of fans get pissed off when I say that, including Ole Miss fans. But I think he's only been to Omaha like 3 times. And with that Vanderbilt team, that's not enough. That's weird to me. So it's a postseason sport. You look at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has had the better regular seasons over the last whatever kind of period you want to pick. They've only been to one super regional in the last 10 years. They've never won a road regional. And maybe more of an indictment than that is they've only played a game to win a road regional one time. And that was twice in 2012 when TCU beat them back to back. On the other hand, Mississippi State has done multiple things to hurt the perception of the Ole Miss program as it pertains to this conversation. They are on their 4th coach in 4 years, and they've had a very successful period during that time. They are currently well in line to be a lock to be a national seed. They've won 41, 42 games. They're 18-9 in the SEC right now with first-year coach Chris Lemonis. They have been to 3 straight super regionals prior to this year. They went to the College World Series 2 years ago and finished 3rd. Oregon State beat them after State had won in the winner's bracket. The Beavers beat them twice in a row. And they've had tons of success. So you're looking at a Mississippi State team that has had to get hot. I think, you know, it was either last year or year before, they went 15-15 in the league and then ended up in the College World Series. So that's very relevant here that, hey, it's a postseason sport. It's about what you do at the end, and Ole Miss has been very poor at the end. State has been excellent at the end, and that has come to define these two programs against one another. And, you know, it just adds an extra layer. There's plenty of things you can look at with the Mike Bianco situation about this program as a whole. But when you have Mississippi State doing what they're doing to you and as a whole, as a postseason program, it's an extra layer that's frankly pretty suffocating for Ole Miss right now. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season. I'm not predicting anything, but I will say that this has diminished the not really, I mean, I guess support to a point, but really the belief in the direction of the program with Mississippi State doing what's doing. I think it's been a critical blow to financial parts, because the attendance is going to be down next year if Ole Miss doesn't get to a Super Regional. It just is. To anything you're doing from a change standpoint, potentially. I'm speaking in hypotheticals because there's buyouts involved and things like that. And just overall morale. And when overall morale is a problem, that affects the current sport we're talking about. It affects season ticket sales for baseball next year. And it also affects football, because you wrote about this a little bit. When baseball struggles, it's always been kind of that salve at the end of the year that's picked everything back up a little bit. It's let everybody had a good spring, had a lot of fun, and sort of puts everybody in a genuinely good mood heading into the summer. Well, season ticket sales for football are already down anyway. Now people are in a bad mood heading into the summer. A lot of people want baseball change. You got a football team that is going to have to play well to get to 6-7 wins, play really well to get to 6-7 wins. And I think all those things combined, that as much as it ever can, baseball is kind of dictating the overall tenor of the mood toward the athletic department, which is a fascinating case, because not many schools could ever say that. And frankly, it takes a very specific set of circumstances for even an Ole Miss or Mississippi State or LSU to say that. But I do think we're here right now. I think this is where this is at.
I do too. I think it's, and I wrote this in 10 thoughts. I think it's a fascinating time that we're about to get into. And you know, I've been doing this for 11 years. I never thought I'd be on this beat that long. And I don't do a whole lot of call for coaches' heads, and I'm not calling for Mike Bianco's head. I do think this is a fascinating time at the end of this season, assuming it ends the way that we think it's probably going to end. You know, look, and I wrote this. In fairness, when people go, well, you called for his head and you said it wouldn't work and they get hot. No, and if they get hot and take this decision out of Ross Bjork's hands, good for them. It'll be a fun story for 3 weeks. But I think at this point, they've got to get to a super regional to take this particular aspect of a decision away from Bjork. And that is, you moved on from Andy Kennedy because he was good, but not good enough. So here's Bjork. I mean, here's Bianco. And in the last 10 years, they've been to one super regional. And again, that's assuming they don't go to one this year. They've been to one super regional. And that has become, in the eyes of the fan, the litmus test. Get to a super regional, the season's a success. Don't get to a super regional, the season is to some degree disappointing. No one expects a super regional every year, but they expect more than one in 10 years. And so when they don't get it, they want to evaluate it. They view the program as somewhat stale this year. It wasn't stale last year until Monday, and then that Monday went really bad, and I don't think the program's recovered from that Monday.
No, it was potentially, arguably, the most successful season and most successful regular season in program history last year.
And it ended on that weird note, and it ended with a team that looked tight, and that's the knock on him. Whether it's fair or not, I don't know. I've not played for him. I don't know. You'd have to talk candidly to a lot of people who have played for him before you could begin to make that assessment of whether that's fair or not. But it has become such a commonly, what's the word I'm looking for? It accepted view that perception reality. So at the end of this season, if it doesn't end in a super regional, if it ends in a regional in Atlanta or Louisville or Waco or Lubbock or wherever the case may be, if it ends in one of those places, Ross Bjork has a decision to make. This is assuming that he has the capital to make that decision. I think he does. I talked to someone yesterday who said he doesn't think he does. I think he does. We'll see. But Ross Bjork has a decision to make, and that is, do you make a move that simply says it's time to do something new? It's time for new blood. It's time to show that just being consistent in the regular season is not enough. And like I said in 10 Thoughts, and I'll say it here, that is, even though that is a decision that is made independently, you don't get to make that decision in a vacuum. And if you move on from Andy Kennedy because he was good but not good enough, and if you then move on from Mike Bianco because he was very good, and yes, he was very good, if you move on from very good because he wasn't championship level, what then happens in football season? Now, if you don't move on from Mike Bianco and you just roll his contract over, or you don't roll his contract over, but you leave him in as the head coach, there are going to be some, a lot out there, who are going to take it as a message of, well, you know, mediocrity is accepted here. And then if football season doesn't go well, a lot of those same people are going to bail quicker than otherwise, in my opinion, because they're going to say, well, nothing's going to happen. This is what's accepted here. It's a morale hit. And if you're Bjork, this is all convoluted, I know, but we're just kind of talking through it. A new chancellor is going to be named sometime between, at the earliest, I think it's October. At the latest, it's probably this time next year. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Bjork has to make sure that, I mean, in my opinion, he has to make sure he makes moves that make him trusted by the alumni, by the money people, by donors. It's a big moment for him. And you're right. I mean, most places, the baseball thing's not that big of a deal. It's like, eh, whatever. It's cool. I mean, you know, make some money, but it doesn't make a lot of money. It doesn't really move the needle that much at most places. It moves the needle here.
It's a big deal to this level. Now, again, I hate the people that go, oh, there's only like 15 schools that care. No, that's crap. We're talking about, there's 15 schools in the country that care enough that it affects other sports when it struggles.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I don't know about how many other schools there are that maybe it's 15, maybe it's 30, maybe it's 8. I have no idea. It does here.
It's a lot of SEC schools, and then frankly, it's like the Techs of the world and stuff like that. I mean Texas Tech, but you know, whatever. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. It does here, so that's all that matters to this conversation.
Right, that's all that matters, whether it's 8 or 30 or somewhere in between.
Or 1.
It moves the needle here. And this is a weird time because of the transition. There are people that don't view the football program as acceptable right now. There's a lot of people that are still trying to figure out who to blame for different things. And again, look, I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. I think there's a real solid chance that Matt Luke and his staff eliminate a lot of that this fall on the field. It's a scoreboard business. They could win some games. I mean, everyone looks at those first two games and goes, boy, if they lose those first two games, it gets tight around here. And it does. But if they win those first two games, there's going to be some excitement around here. So we'll see. But the bottom line is, going into this season, there's concern. Season tickets are down. I think that's safe to say. I haven't heard an exact number. I use the word stagnant in 10 Thoughts. I think that's fair. There's a lot of just kind of, we'll see. I don't know.
You know, we
it's a big moment for the athletics program. It's a big moment for the school.
We use the super regional note, the 1-10, and that's the easiest way to put it, and that encapsulates what I'm going to say. But you know, even more than that, it's really just be competitive in the postseason. You know what I mean? Like, just show up. The number that I use to do this is a couple different numbers. One, since Ole Miss got off the bus coming back from the airport in the 2014 College World Series, where they finished third, They've gone 2-6 in NCAA regionals since that point. They missed the tournament in 17. They went 0-2 in 15, 0-2 in 16, 2-2 in 18. And Ole Miss won at least two postseason games, meaning at least two games in the regional and maybe a lot more, in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009. Since that point, they've only won two games in a postseason. In 2012, when they blew the winner's bracket against TCU, 2014, and 2018. That's it. So it's so many, I mean, just like empty seasons where if you're on the road, you're not playing the host. Or if you're at home, you know, you went 0-2 in 16 and they lose to Tennessee Tech last year, even though that counts in this statistic. It is super regional, but frankly, it's just keep your current kind of pace, if you will. And that's why it becomes this conversation about, hey, is something going on that is systemic? Because Ole Miss in the postseason looks nothing like Ole Miss in the regular season. And that is the argument. And again, I can find 10 people that go, yes, absolutely, you've got to make a change, and this is systemic, and this is a problem. And then I can also find a big segment of people that goes, gosh dang, guys, we're making the tournament every year. I mean, you're just, you know, and it's this fear. And it is a very relevant fear. I get it. It's very, I mean, South Carolina right now, we don't have to argue that South Carolina has a better baseball tradition than Ole Miss and a lot of support in a lot of different areas. They suck.
Yeah, they're horrible.
You know, Auburn's very mediocre. Alabama sucks. Kentucky's not good. State's had some weird years. I will say to that, though, State's four coaches in 4 years hurts that argument a lot. It just does. And then two, and this is not advocating. I mean, again, I can make the case either way, and I'm pretty good at arguing at both sides if I was a lawyer and got put on one side or the other. But I don't think you can operate a program out of fear either. There's got to be the confidence that you can make the hire or you can make the decision that improves in the ways that you need to improve. Because, look, is Mike Bianco the best college baseball coach in America? No, come on. But he's very good in a lot of ways, and when you hire that next coach, you've got to be better in the ways that Mike's not very good, and then you've got to be just as good in the ways that he is good. So it cuts down on your pool of who you hire. But no, I mean, it's possible to find somebody else. I mean, I don't think it's relevant that you simply operate out of fear with this decision.
I think it's more than fair. I used to say this about Andy Kennedy, and people would think that I was saying you can't get rid of Andy. It's not what I was saying. It applies here, too. There's a chance that if you move on from Mike Bianco, the next guy's not as good. There's a chance.
Well, and look, whenever they move on from Mike Bianco, whether it's in 3 weeks or 3 years or 10 years, just a little advice for the Ole Miss fan base. You're going to have to chill out. You're going to have to reset. And yes. I don't mean that you're affecting the team. That's not my point. I just mean for your own personal health. Because there is a condition that Ole Miss baseball fans right now have where, hey, if we're not hosting, we can't advance. And everything is built upon this baseline of it is a terrible season and we're going to freak out if you're not 18-12, 19-11, 20-10, and that hosting conversation. You have to reset. You're going to have to chill. You're going to have to let maybe a 15-15 season get you into the tournament and have faith in that new coaching staff that they can win in the postseason. I think in a lot of ways, there's going to have to be an overall cleansing whenever this is over, and that the fan base and the new staff, that they get the benefit of being themselves, whether that's Cliff Godwin or Butch Thompson or Kirk Sarlous or whomever. And again, 3 years, 3 weeks, 10 years. And let them just have their program. I don't think you can. Ole Miss is a fan base and as a program is going to have to let the new staff, again, whenever that is, operate without the scar tissue of the previous staff.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I think that's fair. It's like this past season when Kermit Davis was having the success that they had, every single message board thread that was about comparing it to Andy Kennedy, I thought, you got to let go. You got to move past it. Everything's not a validation of a decision. Once the decision's made, the decision's made. That moment.
Yeah.
You got to get past it. You got to move forward.
And it's a different program.
It becomes a different program.
I mean,
that it really does, and it's one of the, I mean, I wrote about this, and you know the person. I don't know him. One of the things that I wrote, I mean, I probably made a lot of enemies last night. I didn't mean to. I just being honest. The fact that Godwin's out there with Ole Miss ties, and let's be real, probably significant interest in the job just as a whole. Not the job today, not the job whenever. I know there's some personal stuff, but in general, Cliff Godwin knows how good of a job Ole Miss is. He knows what the job could be. He knows what the program can be. And he's got his alma mater, East Carolina, which I'm sure he loves. But let's face it, there's a ceiling at East Carolina, and God knows they're all over it right now. He's potentially a hot commodity in a couple, 3 weeks or longer. And, you know, you got to make decisions. Do you strike now? I mean, to me, all of those things factor in. I do think you have to think when you're making a decision, okay, you make the decision independently, but let's not be naive. You have to have an idea as to the direction you're headed. You have to have a clue, and that's what ADs get paid for. They've got a list in their drawer.
My point a second ago, too, the last thing before I mentioned Godwin, and we'll go to a break in a second, is State's a good example. I just keep going back to State because of the scholarship change. You know, the similarity to the program all the way around. They went 15-15 last year and then finished third in the College World Series. In 2013, they finished second in the College World Series after going 16-14. 2 years ago, they went 17-13 and made a super regional. My point being, you're just going to have to let the postseason play out. You're going to have to trust the coaching staff that they're just going to win in the postseason and that getting in the tournament is the goal. Because frankly, while it's much easier to win from home, obviously, for SEC schools, getting in there and just beating some other team is the path to the College World Series. Just get in and then do it enough. And usually the percentage has worked out. For Ole Miss, that hasn't been the case. I mean, there's a post on our board. Colin Brister did it. So if you're subscribers, you can go in and see. Where he talked about, for Ole Miss, yeah, they've had a lot of struggles in a lot of different ways, but not maximizing their opportunities is A on what has been the problem during the Bianco era. And yeah, look, Cliff's going to coach in the SEC at some point. There's no doubt. I don't know when it is. Maybe he wins a national title at East Carolina and does it next year. Maybe it's whenever Tim Corbin gives it up, if something doesn't happen before that. I don't know, but yeah, I would bet a lot of money on at some point Cliff Godwin is coaching in the SEC. There's no doubt about that. So I feel very strong about that.
Yeah, it's because you know he is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah. So.
He's going to be on short list. And I'm not saying you make a move just to go get him. I'm not saying that. I am saying that you do have to have an idea in your mind as to which direction you're going to go. And frankly, for Ole Miss, that has to make a decision. I'm trying to decide how to say this without just infuriating people. Do you need to dial it back? Are you overcommitted to baseball? Has it become overemphasized? Has it gotten to where it's too much? I mean, are you paying the head coach too much? Is the staff making too much? Are you maxed out on your credit card, if you will? Is it time to cut back, or?
I think the head coach salary has gotten carried away simply based off achievements. I don't think the assistant salaries have gotten carried away. And now the problem is the SEC as a whole is putting more emphasis on it. So you've got to – you just can't get out on – you can't be an outlier. That's the problem right now is you can't be an outlier. However, they're still making money. So while it's making money, I don't see necessarily a ton of change in that area.
Gotcha.
Because it's finishing in the black. So, I mean, you can argue, well, finishing in the black, most schools lose money. Maybe we're not spending enough, but you got to spend it in the right way, obviously. You can't just pay to pay. But you get my point. So, anyway, I don't know. Podcast brought to you in part by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, by Premium Lawn Care throughout northern Mississippi. You know, they offer a lot more as well. Everything from custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paver patios, forestry mulching, and much more. The path to your dream backyard, easier than you think. Go mastercuts.com for a free quote or give them a call at 662-607-7773. Tell them we sent you. And again, that's gomastercuts.com.
podcast also brought to you in part by the Westin Jackson. I'll be soliciting mailbag questions here later today. The mailbag brought to you every week by the Westin Jackson. You can restore serenity to your soul at Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. And then head over to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro right there in the Westin Jackson. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight. Podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. You guys know the drill by now. You call John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So you call him, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, and let him give you some options. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of this. You just have to call him. Say, hey, here's what I'm kind of thinking about doing. Here's my budget. And then chill. Let him give you some options. You're not committed to anything until you commit to it. So let him give you some options and then take it from there. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off the first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. It's a podcast that's also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. I've referenced my 10 weekend thoughts a handful of times. That's up at rebelgrove.com. It's part of the rivals.com network. We'd love for you to join and be part of the community. The message board is always an interesting place, and there's a lot of premium information that's on the message board frequently that is not available to people who just view the site for free because they don't have access to that message board. So you can join it. We would appreciate it. My 10 weekend thoughts are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent who's also a very big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located just east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. Savannah Square will initially consist of 32 standalone detached structures ranging in size from about 1,100 square feet to 2,400 square feet. The model home is available for your inspection. It is located at 215 William Street. These homes have wonderful layouts, impeccable finishes, which you can inspect at the model. So give Harry a call, take a look at the model, and get more information about this great new development while units are still available. You can view more at SavannahSquareOxford.com or give Harry Alexander a call or text at 662-801-5621.
So, I don't know. Sorry, I was laughing about something. I told Neil this, just a little something that if you're into business or whatever, was kind of interesting. There's a really good story in the New York Times the last few days about the Advocate buying the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. From just a business, a journalism, kind of a people thing, the Times did a really good job with that. As a lot of the Times-Picayune workers are having to interview and reapply for jobs, and the Advocate went into New Orleans several years ago with the sole mission to essentially put the Times Pick out of business, and they have succeeded now. So if you're just kind of into business, into journalism, media, people, whatever, it was a good story I read this morning in the Times Pick. So a little recommendation there.
Interesting little tweet here by Aaron Suttles. I know we're going to talk about Twitter in a moment. Aaron Suttles has a tweet that says, has Nate Oates, the new Alabama basketball coach, signed his contract or just a memorandum of understanding? If so, what's the buyout?
Because of Michigan?
I would assume that that is what he is
referencing.
Cryptically.
Where is Oates from?
Well, he was at Buffalo, and I've seen several people today in the last hour since you and I have been talking say that if he had stayed at Buffalo, he probably would have been the number one guy at Michigan.
Really?
So, is the contract signed?
If it's not, I'd be heading on over right now.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
His background, if anyone's curious, is just Buffalo. He was at a Maranatha Baptist, Wisconsin Whitewater, Romulu High School. Buffalo was an assistant, and then Buffalo was the head coach before Alabama.
Strong Midwest ties.
He is from Waterton, Wisconsin.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes. Lovely town, Waterton.
Is it?
I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We can talk about.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the world of sports. Or we can talk about Twitter a little bit.
Okay. Talk about Twitter. So, we can talk.
If you hypothetically were working at the Clarion Ledger, just hypothetically, a newspaper that is dying. I mean, so close to dead that it's hard to, it barely has a pulse. I don't have any real friends over there, so I don't care. It's going to die. I mean, it's so dead. It's a non-factor.
I like Sus a lot, but I don't know that I even know anybody over there anymore.
Yes. Nick's a good guy. It doesn't change the fact that the paper's going to die. I mean, Nick's really good at what he does, and he's a nice guy, but he's not going to save that paper. It's over. Why would you, as a young person, make it your priority? And I know what it is. It's, God, I need to get approval. I need people to love me. Why would you do some of the trolling tweets that he does on Twitter? I'm referring to Tyler Horka. Why would you do those tweets knowing that it could literally be weeks before you're out looking for jobs and your social media stuff is going to be asked about?
Yeah, it was. I didn't speak to him. It was fine in the press box. I mean, nothing. We didn't talk, but no big deal.
He probably views you as the enemy.
I might be the enemy. Well, but that's the thing. There's no ties. He went to Texas. It shouldn't matter. Yeah, I mean, I see. I talked to Brian Haydad for a minute. Let's see. I talked to Robbie Falk for a few minutes. I like Robbie. Talked to Joel Coleman for a few minutes. Like Joel, we went over some rules stuff on Friday night, trying to figure out curfews and all that kind of stuff. I spoke to Logan Lowry twice. Logan and I are fine. I think that was it. I think that's all I talked. There was more of them. They all came in about 4:30 on Friday. But I think that's it. But yeah, several of the tweets got sent to me. And the one that, there was some jokes that I kind of thought, all right, that's kind of on the line. But then late last night, it's not an emotional Ole Miss State thing. It's just stupid all the way around. Especially with someone who had to deal with really a lot of legitimate Twitter issues over the Kyler Murray stuff when that came out a few months ago.
Yeah.
Had one where the kids were doing the bells and bows running the bases thing after the game, and the tweet essentially, or verbatim, I don't remember, said, "That's more runs than Ole Miss scored all weekend," referencing the kids running around the bases. It's needless. It's simply for Twitter likes, Twitter clicks, and approval from a fan base. And last time I checked, Twitter doesn't pay you much when you tweet. I haven't gotten a check from Twitter yet.
Have you not gotten your Twitter check?
Yeah, maybe I'm not good at it. Maybe I don't have enough followers to like hit the threshold or something, but I don't get a Twitter check.
I'm taking my entire summer vacation on just Twitter money.
On Twitter checks?
Yeah. Would you like to know where I'm going for my summer vacation?
I would.
The backyard.
Okay. You know, maybe he's got a bunch of Twitter stock.
Oh,
so
could
he
be.
Thinks the more that he tweets, it's upping the stock because, you know, I mean, more views, more likes, the company growing a little bit, maybe.
Here's the thing that's fascinating to me. We talk about the Times-Picayune and all that stuff. If it's where these young guys don't have. And I know I'm sounding like the old man yelling at the cloud, but I'm really not. I'm being honest. There's no editor. There's no oversight to say, hey, man, you're killing your reputation here, except with this group of people that, yeah, Mississippi State fans love you, but you're going to have to answer to these tweets at some point. Because the tweets that he should have been tweeting is he covers a program that, over the weekend, absolutely put the clamps on a national top 8 seed. They're locked in. The road to Omaha is going to go through Starkville. He's covering
the all-time SEC hits leader, Jake Mangum.
Yep. The all-time SEC hits leader.
He's covering a Friday night ace that has vaulted into the top 50 prospects in the country.
He's covering a coach that is probably at least in the mix for National Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think State was picked sixth in the West this year.
I mean, there's a lot on his beat that would be far more productive from a tweet standpoint than some of the trolling stuff.
And not even, like, participating in trolling amongst the beat, by far the worst. I never really even saw anything else from the entire beat from a trolling standpoint over the weekend.
I told you this watching on TV. The team that he's covering, as they were putting Ole Miss away, they were not trolling in the dugout. It was just typical high five, handshake, just pat
stuff.
On the back.
Yeah.
Just stuff. Yeah, there was no gimmicks. They weren't pretending to swim with sharks or any of that stuff. They weren't doing, like, crazy stuff. They acted like, hey, we came here to win. We expected to win. We won. We have bigger things on our agenda. That's what they acted like. Their body language was really good. I mean, honest, I watched one game on television. Their body language was really good. They acted like a team that they intend on they don't intend on sweeping Ole Miss being the highlight of their season at all. Now, whether they do or don't, I don't know. But they weren't acting like, hey, man, the rest of this season's gravy. Nope, that was just a step. Just kind of another deal. They acknowledge that it's big to win in Oxford and that it's big to sweep your in-state rival and all that stuff, but there's work to be done. They want to win in Hoover, and then they want to win two tournaments in Starkville, and they've got their eyes on another one in Nebraska. They're very focused. It was odd. I just found it odd. That's the program you're covering, and that's your focus. And look, when you're Steve Robertson or somebody, he's not going anywhere. That's his job. That's what he does. He's never going anywhere. It's not like a legitimate media entity is going to hire him. And he's made, I assume, a decent living with all of the book writing and such.
Yeah, it's a whole different scenario.
It's a whole different deal. If you're this kid, I'm assuming that when the Clarion-Ledger shuts down or lays you off, and I didn't say if, I said when the Clarion-Ledger shuts down and or lays you off, you're going to have to leave Mississippi to find a job. Weird. So that was strange.
Yeah. Beeline has now tweeted, so I think it's pretty good confirmation. He says, thanks to everyone at the University of Michigan for their incredible support these last 12 years. Fans, alums, leaders, players, and students are amazing. Been a heck of a ride, and I hope you enjoyed our teams and staff as much as I did. Go Blue forever. Hashtag Go Blue.
Well, like I said,
that feels very, very affirmative for Woj's tweet earlier.
I don't think Woj ever puts out a tweet and goes, God, I sure hope that's right.
You don't think he – no, it's a good question. You don't think he deals with the same, like, freak out that we do occasionally?
Not ever? Anymore. Probably did at one point, not now. I think
this sounds nuts, but I think in some ways the franchises almost fear him.
Oh, I was going to say, I think he has hit the point where he knows so much that if you were to cross him, you'd pay.
You think so?
A little bit, yep. If you were to feed him, bad information intentionally,
yeah.
Him look bad, yeah, oh yeah, I think he could burn you.
You think it'd be worse on you, so nobody does it?
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I think he's respected / feared. Don't mess with him.
Okay.
And I think he knows so much that if you're a guy in the NBA and you want to know what's going on, he's one of the calls you make. Hey, what's going on with Sacramento? What do you hear about Durant? What's going on with the Knicks? And yeah, information's an exchange. He then says, what's going on with your deal? And you get it. And that's that.
That's fair.
By the way, and we're not going to spend any time on it because no one wants to hear it. One of the things that makes the NBA great is their playoffs. Those game 7s yesterday, those were both freaking awesome games to watch. They weren't the best games in the world. They weren't the most beautiful games in the world, but the drama and
so it was March Madness.
It was March Madness on a.
Well, you just said the games weren't good. Now that's our argument. Games aren't good. March Madness
on exponentially higher levels because
they're pro athletes. Amazing.
Yeah, because they're pro athletes and in the key moments, it's hey, we're gonna get the ball to our guy.
You know, Sixers Raptors hits the shot. I saw it and I know everybody went, wow, oh my God. I just felt bad for Philly. It was a bad shot that shouldn't have gone in. They played good defense.
Yeah, and they had fought to tie it up.
I felt bad for Embiid and the Sixers. That was my only really emotion watching the end of that game.
My only thought with Embiid and the Sixers was that was probably the pain that you have to feel that fuels you. They're going to be a force moving forward. They will benefit from this. They'll move on from this. It shows you how great Kawhi is. And then the other one, I've always been a CJ McCollum guy. I hoped the Thunder would draft him when he came out of Lehigh. I just liked him. I liked everything about his game, everything I read about him. I really liked him. And, you know, they got swept a year ago in the first round by New Orleans, and everyone said, hey, let's blow it up. Let's blow it up. And instead, they doubled down. They doubled down on those two guards, and they lose Yusuf Nurkic with about a month left in the season. They go out and get Enes Kanter and Rodney Hood, and they're in the Western Conference Finals.
Didn't Hood get hurt?
Hood got hurt yesterday. I don't know how bad.
Yeah. What'd you pick in the finals in 10 thoughts?
I've got Bucks and Warriors, which is fitting. It's the two best teams.
Okay. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar in Oxford. Deliver local to your home or workplace. They offer MedSync. We'll just put you on a schedule, get you the medicines when you need them, and you can transfer your medications over easily by giving them a call at 662-236-2222. They handle the rest. They get to know you, and they take care of you while you're in there. You want to check out the CBD oil. I hear more and more about it every single day. It's offered in many different forms, including the under-the-tongue oil, the soft gel capsules, the topical salves, and more. It's helped people with depression, anxiety, pain, insomnia, and other conditions. It's FDA approved. It's legal in all 50 states. There's no crazy side effects. So again, G&M there on South Lamar, 662-236-2222.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. They offer their customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The guy who tweeted at Henry Ulrich.
Yep.
I don't care whether you knew or not. That tweet's the crap take of the day. It's brought to you by Scoopers Pet Waste Removal, LLC. Everyone loves their pets. No one loves stepping in their pet's stuff, if you will. Tracking that stuff into the house is a nightmare. Scoopers will take care of it for you. They'll go into your backyard, your apartment complex, your condominium, and pick up what no one really wants to pick up. For $10 of cleaning, Scoopers will clean up your yard. They'll do it on your schedule, whether that's weekly, bi-weekly, or a one-time service. No contracts are required. You can cancel at any time. And if you have multiple dogs, it's just $2 for each additional dog. So if you own a home, a condo, or an apartment complex in Oxford and you'd like to deal with a lot less crap, call Scoopers at 662-506-2754 or simply send them an email at scoopers.oxfordpetwaste@gmail.com to get your cleanings scheduled today. We had a great time celebrating Blue Delta's five-year anniversary on the square in April. Maybe you missed it and you're worried you aren't going to be able to get fitted for your pair of Blue Deltas until football season rolls back around. Fear not. These guys travel the country doing trunk shows, fitting sports teams, doing golf tournaments, hanging out with Joe Madden at his restaurant opening in Chicago on a Saturday night. I'm not jealous. They've been all over New York, Chicago, Orlando, Dallas, San Angelo, Texas, Jackson, Birmingham, and they'll come to you as well. If you'd like to inquire about hosting a private trunk show in your city, just send them a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Blue Delta Jeans, or send them an email at info@bluedeltajeans.com, and one of the Blue Delta stylists will reach out to you with details. And last but not least, 7 South Tailgating is owned and operated by husband and wife duo Kyle and Jordan Thornton, both of whom Ole Miss alums, Oxford locals. Kyle is a former Ole Miss baseball player, Jordan a former Ole Miss football staff member. What started as a way to pay for college has become the greatest tailgating service provider at Ole Miss. The team at 7 South are Rebels through and through and take pride in the Grove and the impact their service has on protecting, preserving, and enriching the Ole Miss game day tailgating tradition. Call them directly at 662-321-1682 or visit 7southtailgating.com.
So we mentioned in the open, Ole Miss softball is at home this weekend for the Oxford Regional. Starting on Friday, the Rebels are 37-17, 13-10 in the SEC. They lost one SEC series all year, and that was to Georgia the final weekend of the year. And the controversial stuff we talked about, they went 1-1 in the SEC tournament, beating State before losing to Kentucky. It is their fourth straight NCAA tournament berth after having never made it before in the program history before Mike Smith got there. Second time the Rebels have hosted. 2 years ago, they won the Oxford Regional before losing to UCLA out in Los Angeles. And they've got a tough regional on tap. The Louisiana Lafayette Ragin' Cajuns lead the nation in wins. They are 50-4 heading into Oxford as the 2 seed. I did look it up yesterday. Softball America had Lafayette as the last host with Ole Miss, the 2 seed in that. Southeast Missouri's the 3 seed. They've won 40-something games. And then Chattanooga, who won the Southern Conference, is the 3 seed. They are the 4 seed in Oxford and will be the opener for the Rebels, the Mocs there, from Chattanooga. Again, remember, Mockingbird, not moccasins, as previously thought. We've talked about that here. SEC got a lot. Got a weird thing. They got tons of, like, got like 7 national seeds or something. Got tons of respect from the committee. Ole Miss getting all the way up to number 11 is a ton of respect, considering. I'd say what I found weird, though. Florida finished middle of the pack in the SEC standings and was the number 5 national seed. Alabama won the SEC and was the number 8 national seed. I don't care. I just found it weird.
Yeah.
Is that weird to you?
It is. I mean, I don't know enough about that sport to be able to delve into any detail. But, yeah, on the surface, that feels strange.
Yeah, I was watching it last night, and I was like, huh. I mean, I had no really – it wasn't like emotion ran through my veins or anything. But I just kind of looked at it and kind of cocked my head like a dog when he doesn't understand something. I was like, huh. Okay. Don't know. Ole Miss playing Arkansas State tomorrow. Arkansas State's RPI is somewhere around 30 for sure. I mean, 130 for sure win the game. Anyway,
yeah.
There.
Just yeah.
Win the game analysis. I know. Let's see. Anything else as we are closing?
That's right there.
Do what?
That's why you make the big bucks.
Because they need to win the game?
Yeah.
Well, they do need to win the game. That is a factual statement.
It is true.
They do not need to lose. As they said,
off winning than losing.
Winning is, you know, better than losing.
Yep.
That's what I hear.
That's what the great Nuke Lelouch said.
Was that Lelouch?
Yeah, he said, you know, I love winning. You know, it's like better than losing. And that's when Crash, who was kind of pissed off that Nuke was with what's-her-name instead of him. He said, you know, that's
Annie.
Annie. Nuke was with Annie and didn't appreciate Annie, and Crash had a thing for Annie, and ultimately they consummated it over multiple bowls of cereal. And
multiple bowls of cereal. That's what she goes, would she rather than be with you and say his name or the other way around?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you think that scene was weird? I mean, they just like cereal everywhere, and it's like, good God.
What kind of cereal was it?
It appeared to be like Rice Krispies or Special K or something like that.
Those aren't the same.
No, but it was one
I
of
mean,
those.
Had you said like Special K or Corn Flakes, they look exactly the same.
And it might have been Corn Flakes now that I think about it. I mean, hell, I don't know, but it was just like cereal everywhere.
Do you like Corn Flakes?
Not really.
They don't have much taste.
Well, and they get soggy super quick. When I was a kid, we would eat cereal like that and put all sorts of sugar on it.
That helped. What's your favorite cereal? I don't eat cereal, really. But
yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. Campbell gets this Special K with chocolate pieces in it.
I've had that. Yeah.
And in a super weak moment, I'll have some of that.
It's good.
It is good, yeah. But that's about it. I mean, I don't. Now, if you told me I was, like, going to die tomorrow and I could just eat cereal, I'd probably get Cap'n Crunch.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
See, I don't like real sugary, like, kid cereals at all. They just,
I mean, if you told me that, hey, there's no reason to continue this working out thing, it's over. You're gonna kick it tomorrow. Enjoy your day, and all you can have is cereal. I'd probably eat Cap'n Crunch and peanut butter Cap'n Crunch and mess up the roof of my mouth. But it wouldn't really matter if I was dying tomorrow if the roof of my mouth was messed up today.
That's fair. Ole Miss falls to number 15 in the D1 baseball top 25, down from number 11. Frankly, that was not a very large fall. I expected a little more than that. There's a big sample size at this point. UCLA 1, Vandy 2, Stanford 3. Cardinal has a really weird record. Frankly, I think that's way too high for them, given their complete metrics. Arkansas number 4 and Mississippi State number 5. Georgia at 7, Louisville at 9, A&M at 16, LSU at 19. Yeah, that's it. Missouri at 24, still hanging in.
You excited about the Bachelorette starting tonight?
Oh, does it start tonight?
Yeah.
Is Aaliyah going to be watching?
I haven't talked to Aaliyah about it. I suspect she'll be watching. In some ways, I talked about this. In some ways, I like The Bachelorette better than The Bachelor, because you just giggle at how stupid it is. Because all of these guys, there's like 30 of them, and 20 of them or so will make it another round or whatnot. All of these guys have been training basically for the last 9 months to get in the best shape of their lives. If you think all of those guys are hanging around that house in LA night after night after night waiting for Hannah, you're out of your freaking mind.
Don't they have to?
You know they're out of there. You know they are. The camera people aren't stopping them. You know those guys are. I bet that place is crazy. We need to get somebody who's been on The Bachelorette before and say,
"Well, I'm working on that. I'm trying to get that done. I've got an in there."
I'd love to know, because there's no way all those guys are just like, "Hey, you know, I'm going to take the next 8 to 12 weeks and see what happens." I don't believe that.
John Beilein has coached 41 seasons. He's had 5 losing years.
Oh, well, he's very good.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. All right, we'll have more tomorrow on the show. We'll have some guests throughout the week as well. As we move along, there'll be plenty more baseball coverage leading into the final regular season series of the year at Tennessee beginning on Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow.